In Ukraine, Bohdan Khmelnytsky is everywhere. Khmelnytsky is one of the most popular street names in the country, and a city and a region in central Ukraine are named after him. Khmelnytsky's face is on the 5 hryvnia coin and note. A statue of him, sitting astride a stallion, is among the landmarks of downtown Kyiv. Such commemoration is well warranted, for Khmelnytsky led the uprising against the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth that created, in the mid-17th century, the first recognisably Ukrainian polity. Khmelnytsky's distinguished military service to the Polish crown, his two-year stint as a captive in Ottoman Constantinople during which he learned the Turkish language, his romance-driven conflict with a neighbouring Polish landlord that triggered the chain of events that sparked the revolt, and his spectacular victories over large Polish armies quickly became the stuff of legend, in which myth is hard to clearly distinguish from historical fact. Even during his lifetime, Khmelnytsky was called a modern-day Moses who had succeeded in leading his Rus people out of bondage, and for many Ukrainians, both in the past and now, Khmelnytsky is the embodiment of Ukraine's long, bloody struggle for independence. Yet Khmelnytsky is also a hero for the Russians. In 1654, unable to protect his domain from the larger and better organized Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth, Khmelnytsky accepted the sovereignty of Moscow's Tsar, an act that paved the way for Russia's rule over the region. As the state he established melted away, Khmelnytsky gained pride of place in Russian imperial history and nationalist mythology as the leader who unified Ukraine with Russia. It was the Tsarist government, not independent Ukraine, that in 1888 erected Khmelnytsky's monument in the centre of Kyiv. Communist rulers who replaced the Romanov dynasty as Russia's overlords were equally fond of Khmelnytsky. During World War II, the Order of Bogdan Khmelnytsky was established as a prestigious Red Army decoration, and it was the Soviet authorities who in 1954 renamed the city of Proskuriv as Khmelnytsky. The collapse of the USSR and the emergence of Ukraine as an independent state did not affect Khmelnytsky's standing among Russian nationalists. A new unification is upon us. The spirit of Bogdan Khmelnytsky has awoken. Death to the enemies of the Russian people, proclaimed Russian far-right ideologue Alexander Dugin in March 2014 as the Kremlin embarked on the annexation of Crimea and fomented the war in the Donbass. Khmelnytsky's legacy is just one of many examples of how Russian and Ukrainian history and identity are interwoven, forming a dense web of shared images, symbols, and personalities that are passionately claimed by both groups, states, and national histories. For each, these personalities and symbols have different meanings, send different signals, underscore often incompatible values, and prescribe conflicting policies. Russian violence in and against Ukraine is as much about the centuries-old past as it is about the present. This deep past sets the stage for the story of modern Russian-Ukrainian relations and is crucial for understanding the violence. On February 22, 2022, less than 48 hours before the first columns of Russian tanks crossed Ukraine's borders, the Twitter account of the US Embassy in Ukraine posted a picture that comprised two rows of images. The top row showed a timeline of the construction of Kyiv's historical landmarks, such as St. Sophia's Cathedral and St. Michael's Monastery, in 996, 1011, 1070, and 1108 CE. The bottom row showed Moscow during the same years, a forest, as Russia's capital was not founded until 1147. Internet trolling might not be the most appropriate behaviour for diplomats, especially if their own capital was only established in 1790, but the embassy's message was a pointed response to Putin's claim that Ukraine has never been a real state. It also underscored how crucial early history and the legacy of Kievan Rus, the East Slav's medieval state, are for Russia's perception of Ukraine and of itself.